Welcome to part two of episode number three. This is where Raphael continues to interview myself. Please enjoy.
So, you started making your preparations. You got your moderator team together yet, or was it just... Because it's more than one person.
Yes. At the time, there were, I'd say about four people, including myself, that were going to take care of moderating and or being involved with the site. I don't think moderating was even an issue at the time. And I looked at the thing of if the site got as big as Waydale was, what it was going to involve time-wise. You know, and I had a full-time job. I wasn't going to be doing Grease Spot for a living. And I wanted to, I even thought of just having the forums open from 5 at night till midnight or something like that. But I said, that's never going to work with people's schedules and the such.
And time zones.
Right, and time zones. So I really didn't deal with the whole concept of moderation until the place opened up, until Waydale closed down, I guess is better way to put it. Paul put up all sorts of banners, you know, go to Grease Spot, things like this when it was getting close to that time, and really tried to get people to go over there, but nobody was going over. And so Waydale closed fairly abruptly. It was, I think, announced, you know, maybe 4 days, 5 days before it was going to close. And so everybody migrated very quickly, and it was a rather angry crowd that came over at first because they didn't feel that Waydale should have been closed so abruptly. And that was one of those things, you can look back on it, you can give like 30 different opinions, but, you know, it happened the way it happened, and that's just the way life is. My first dealings were with people that were angry at Waydale. And I was like going, well, I don't want this forum to just be a place where people complain about another forum. So I had to deal with that, and we weathered the storm. It took a little time, but it got taken care of. And I did find that the whole concept of moderating and reading all the threads was overwhelming at times. So you had to focus on the, you know, fortunately you didn't have to worry about the happy birthday threads, and so you'd focus on where the fires were most likely to happen. I don't know if overwhelming is the right word, but it was close to overwhelming at times. Right around the time that everybody migrated, it was, I'm trying to think the exact dates, but I know that my dad had a stroke,
right,
and I was, you know, preoccupied with that, and so there were times where Grease Spot had to run on its own, and the style was going to be much different than the style that Paul had at Waydale. I wasn't going to be reading every single word that was written. I just didn't have the time. I had a couple of people that were helping out, but their time was limited too. So I had to make the decision that I was going to have to let this be a little more free and trust people to not get out of bounds, which was really interesting.
Well, it has to be interesting, especially now. We have... let me just do a quick check here, but I believe well over 1,000 people registered on the site, no?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's
1,705.
Yep, there's quite a few people. I'm sure a lot of those aren't active posters, though. But
oh. Well, most aren't, and there are a handful of duplicates. People post them.
Right. Yes, supposedly I'm being accused of having multiple handles, but I can barely handle my own, so...
I think that the prime suspects are Mike, What the Hay, Douge, and probably Roby. Thinking you're all of these people.
Yes.
That's my suspicion.
Anyway. Oh, okay. Well, you're entitled.
These are Rocky Pseudo. These are all... In fact, I sometimes wonder if there aren't actually about four or five Grease Spotters just... taking us for a ride, you know?
Yeah, somebody had We did some. It might have been on the. I forget what thread it was on. There was something going around about that there were really only half a dozen people, and we just all had these different personas.
Well, I think some of us do have a half a dozen personas. I've been accused of it, and probably guilty of it from time to time.
Right.
But the most users online was 187. Now that would mean that these six people would have to have about, 30 computers each? Yeah, good luck.
Yes. But there are quite a few people, and it's growing. It's been steadily growing the past few months.
Is there something that's happening that you know about?
I've put out feelers, but I haven't been able to find anything specific that's going on. But there definitely does seem to be some kind of rumblings going on, because there are a lot of people coming on. There are a number of people, I think, that are coming on as a result of people from Greasebot going on some of these MySpace sites.
Oh, I see. That's true. It's another location where we can meet up and chat about God knows what. Let me ask you, you get a lot of feedback from the Way? When was the first time you actually heard from one of them and realized, uh-oh, big time?
The only time that I have heard from the Way International was when I posted a thread and a story about J.P. Werewolf speaking out against the treatment of his mother at headquarters. It was an interesting time, because at that particular time I had, I think it was three different people that I would call, like if I had a problem and needed to kind of brainstorm with somebody, there were a couple people I could talk to. So all of a sudden I get this, the sequence of events, I go to check new registrations, and there is Harvey Platt and Harv Platt, and is it Platt or Harv?
I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Yeah.
I guess it's Plattig.
Yeah. Plattig, yeah. Anyway, Harv and John Linder were registering under their own names. And of course, over the years, I've had numerous people try to register as Craig Martindale, Victor Paul Werewolf, John Linder, any of the main characters at the Way International. People have tried to register under their names, and I just always disallow it, and I was going to do the same with these two. What I usually did was I didn't approve the names. I just let them sit in the queue for a day or two, and if the people were who they said they were, they would usually email me and go, you know, what's taken so long, or, you know, what.
Right.
And that, and sure enough, I get this email saying, you know, why haven't you approved us? You know, is it not, you know, are you saying that we're not welcome, even though you claim that everybody's welcome and blah 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 blah? And I'm like going, well, it must be them, the way they're talking. So, so
ironic from them. Huh?
I know, and so I approved them, and I got on the phone with two friends of mine, and we did a conference call. And I forget what was in particular going on that day, but I had to leave the conference call, and then so the two of them just called each other. And I said, well, you guys discuss it. And I said, let me know what you come up with, because we're going to have to, because I got an email saying that they wanted to respond to the accusations that J.P. Werewolf had said. And when I was on the phone with my two friends, both of them said, do you know what this means? And I said, what does it mean? And because I was just like, I was, my adrenaline was going so fast at the time. And they said, they are acknowledging the existence of Greasebot. And they are acknowledging it as a place that X-Ways go to. And I went, ooh, that's true. That's very, very true. Because if they want to place a reply or a response, to the accusations, they're basically validating the existence of Greenspan. And so it became an issue of the Way International validating Greenspan's existence. And that was really big.
I think not only that, but if you really look at it the way I did at the time, it was not so much that they're validating Greenspan's existence, which I think they always really had by telling people to stay away from it. But I think in addition, they realized that they could get their message out more effectively through you, through this site, than by a Sunday teaching tape or anything else along those lines. They knew that they could get their message across easier and more effectively by coming onto Greenspan Cafe than any other method at their disposal.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was worthy of discussion. So I realized that some communication was going to have to be made other than email. And it was ultimately going to mean a phone call to headquarters. Because one thing that was still existent was we weren't 100% sure that we were talking with these two men. It could have been a ruse because, it was Harv at yahoo.com and it was John Linder at yahoo.com.
Right.
Anybody could have done that. So the realization was contact's got to be made. And so like I said, I had to leave first. I had something going on that day. I forget what it was, but I had to do something. So my two friends are talking, and I get back like an hour later, and I call one of them up, and I said, okay, what was decided? And they go, well, we've decided that you're not the person to make the phone call. And I'm going, excuse me? So anyway, the person was decided.
I do, by the way, wish you had called me on that one because nothing would have brought me
more. Oh, I know. I would have had hundreds of volunteers. I don't think anybody would have. The phone call ended up being made by Pam San Diego. She had much better skills on the phone than I do. And so she went ahead and did that. Of course, I'm just like sitting just anxiously waiting what the outcome is. And, I had told her that I would prefer if they did it, because they had sent us a PDF file. And I said, I'd much prefer if you send me a Word document and I could just copy it and paste it into HTML and everything like that. And so I guess they had a good discussion. She's pretty sure that from the time she called Harv's office, he put her on hold and then put her on speakerphone, that we figure half of headquarters was gathered in the room, like man meeting the first alien or something like this, or, some stupid thing. But anyway, they sent me the Word document, and I posted the response. They also said that certain things were not true, so I just changed them to alleged or supposed. And that was, they had no communication with me after that, and that's really the only correspondence that I've had with them.
They've never threatened to sue?
Nope.
Interesting, considering how much is said on the site. I would think that would be a constant worry.
Well, I'd be lying if I said I didn't think about it. I do think about it, and I'm sure it could happen. From the advice that I've gotten, is that, people are entitled to their opinions, and I really don't put, on the front page, I don't put anything that isn't true. It's very much factual in nature. Even the interviews that we've started doing are people's opinions, people's feelings, and their viewpoints from what happened to them. And that's not a necessarily a suable thing, or at least hopefully not a suable thing.
You never know with some folks, but they did respond. They did get their voice in, and I think that if anything, that proved that if they do have something to say, you're certainly willing to allow them the room and the space to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that once that happens, you put yourself in a much more comfortable legal position.
Right.
6 years of this. Highlights? Lowlights? What do you think is the most fun you've had on all of this?
The most fun, I'd say the most fun's probably been in the chat room. You go in, I don't know, you don't go in that often, and a lot of people are missing an awful lot of fun by not going in. It's a very small group of people that inhabit the chat room, but it can be just absolutely hilarious at times. And I suppose some of the other highlights are the people that I've met over the years. I've met some of the just most amazing people. One thing that the Way International did was it seemed to attract all of the people that had really great hearts and were great people interactively. You know, they just some of the most dynamic personalities, people that I guess have kind of a hunger and thirst for something. And as a result, the people that have left are those same people. And I've just been amazed at the personalities and the diverse people. It's just amazing. I mean, I went to one of the weenie roasts, and it,
those have been great.
Oh, it's so hard to describe, because you've got these, basically, you know, however many people there are, 20 or 30 or whatever, people getting together that have never met before, and just falling into a routine almost immediately. And I think one of the funniest ones was meeting the funniest introductions had to have been with Rascal, Kathy. I walked in. I had driven from the Nashville airport to the location of the weenie roast, and it was late. It was probably about 10 o'clock at night, and I had been traveling all afternoon between flying and driving, and I have my New England drawl. So when I walked in the door, you know, most people had not seen a picture of me, so they didn't know what I looked like. I walked in, and the first person that comes up is Kathy. You know, she goes, "Hi, I'm Kathy, I'm Rascal." And I said, "Hi, I'm Paul." And she goes, "Paul?" And I said, "No, Paul." And she goes, "Paul?" And I said, "No." And I said, "My first name's Mike." And I said, "I'm Mike." And she immediately thought that I was Mike, as in Mike the poster, the Mr. PFAL. And her eyes, you know, just like lit up, and she goes, "I can't believe you came here." And I'm going, and so then I'm like looking around, and I'm, as I said, I'm relatively shy. I'm like turning all shades of red and feeling like I need to go out and get some fresh air. And finally, somebody yells from the other side of the room, "That's Paw!" And she goes, "Oh." And then she gets all embarrassed and everything like this, but it was so funny. And of course, I've never let her forget it either. But
well, could you imagine PFAL Mike showing up at one of these things? I think it would be, at the very least, interesting.
Yes, yes. And I've actually,
you've brought a lot of interest into the site, though. I mean, you can't take that away from him.
No. He's enthusiastic and passionate about what he believes, you know, which is, you know, are two great attributes to have. You know, I think one of the things that people took or got from the Way International was this black and white attitude toward things. Everything was either right or wrong. What you were doing was either right or wrong. You know, whatever you got involved with was either right or wrong. There was no gray areas. And I think that's one of the great things about Greasepot is that the Greasepot's filled with gray. You know, it's not definite. We can discuss things and not come to an answer, which is great. It allows things to be discussed and to be debated. Sometimes debated ad nauseum, but debated nonetheless. And Mike is one of those people that is just absolutely passionate about what he believes. And, you know, the debates with him get so heated because people are just dying for him to stop believing what he believes. And he's dying to get everybody else to start believing what he believes. And it's that...
And stuck in the middle is poor you.
Yeah, well, yeah, I try not to get involved. I think that he's... the whole thing about...
You think that he's a poster, and he posts on Greasepot. That's what you think.
Well, no. You know, he's... He's passionate about what he believes, you know, which is, I think that right or wrong, if somebody's passionate about what they do, I think that's great. You know, you can disagree with him as much as you want, but you have to give him the fact that he is so passionate about things. And that's great. You know, I mean, I've never seen somebody that is so and I really don't mean this negative thing, but he is so verbose with things. He can take something and write so much about it. It just amazes me. But he's a good guy. I met him. I actually met him last year, and you know, he's a nice guy. I think, you know, he's the type of person that if you got to see him outside of his PFL discussions, he's the type of guy you wouldn't mind talking to. You know, he'd make a nice neighbor.
Probably one you'd have to visit every Tuesday and Wednesday.
And Thursday night, yeah.
Open the Bible and a little... Let's go for God. And that brings us to today. 6 years of Greasepot. Happy, sad?
It's
How much longer will this thing be up?
I think it will be up for the foreseeable future. I have had points where I've wanted to close it down, and
as you have mentioned then,
yeah,
everybody.
And a lot of it has to do with being a little, you know, me being too sensitive about things and taking things too personally. And that's something that, you know, I'm changing. I don't take things as personally now as I did, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And I've got a great bunch of people helping out now. You know, most of the times when I felt like closing it down was when I didn't have help. You know, I'd have people that would help out with moderating, and then, you know, somebody or another would blast them so much they'd finally get sick of it and leave. And I've now got just a great bunch of people that you know, you really have to thank them for Greasepot continuing, because they've taken so much of the pressure off myself, and it's allowed me the opportunity to really work on expanding what Greasepot is. The Greasepot radio is something that I've wanted to do for a couple of years now, and just never had. In most of the time, it was technology related. I didn't have the equipment to do it. Now the equipment is there, and I can actually do it and do it effectively, do it over the phone. You know, I tried doing a whole video thing at the first Weenie Roast that I went to, but that didn't work out. There is a Weenie Roast video around, but it's never been published or made public. But I definitely, the moderators are the people that you need to thank, if there is any thanking to be done for the continued existence of Greasepot. I'm just as passionate about it now as I was 6 years ago. I think something that I didn't hit upon with the genesis of Grease Spot is I look back at what John Judas did for me when I needed answers. He was pivotal in my life for getting answers and getting resolution. And I realized that that is or was sorely lacking in what you would call the X-Way community. There wasn't a lot of places to get answers for things. There was places to get information, but there weren't necessarily places to get answers. And so I really want to keep Grease Spot going for just that reason, to have it be a place where people can get answers and get resolution and talk to other people that are also X-Way and understand the situation. I guess it's supposedly, it's kind of like, you know, alcoholics getting together to talk about alcohol, you know, or recovering alcoholics. You know, we're recovering TWI people. You know, and so
every now and then it really hits me that we're all survivors, and you know, we try to think positive and we try to think of ourselves as, you know, normal people, but we all went someplace that could have turned out a lot worse for us, and for some of us did turn out as bad as it possibly could, and we live to tell. I think it you had mentioned it on one of the earlier broadcasts, and I just looked at it a few minutes ago on the Grease Spot Gems. And if anybody hasn't gone to Grease Spot Gems, go to Grease Spot Gems. It is such a wonderful site, thread on the site. And just that notice, I decided to face midnight, and I won from Eagle. We've all been through it, and I think you've helped us along the way a great deal. And I do want to say that I know I speak for 1,704 people when I say thank you for putting this site together and for putting up with us and for allowing us our say most of the time, depending on what words we choose to use. But really, from the bottom of our hearts, I think I can say this safely. Thank you so much. And anything that we can do to make things a little bit easier for you, don't hesitate to ask. And we'll gladly say no and spit in your face and probably laugh quite heartily.
Oh, thank you. It's really, you know, I've always avoided even doing interviews or telling much about myself, because I'd rather be the guy, you know, doing the lights in the back and I think people's experiences and communication and the sense of community that there is, I think that's the real star of the show, and it continues to shine, and it continues to help other people, which is, you know, the day that this doesn't help people, you know, will be the day that it closes down, where it has no meaning or isn't meaningful in people's lives anymore.
Well, I suspect when that day comes, there'll be some trumpets blasting.
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
That might be around for a while. Pawtucket, or Mike, as you called yourself, thank you very much. And what else do I say? Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Grease Spot Radio. Consider yourself a Christian, and how's that working out for you?
Yes, I do. I found out early on in Grease Spot that I had to be not be affiliated or known to be affiliated with a Christian group. And I found that I really couldn't be involved with a Christian group because I was in a situation managing Grease Spot that I had to be objective and I had to be respectful of where people were coming from. Many people on Grease Spot are not Christians. Many people are Christians. There's all sorts of varieties of Christians. I've spoken with people at CFF. I've talked to people at CES, but I have no affiliation with them. I think for the benefit of what I'm doing at Grease Spot, I'm an independent. but I definitely am a Christian. I believe in Christian values. But again, it's not something that I would force on people or even be suggestive of that. I think Grease Spot is one of those places that where an individual decides to go after the experience on Grease Spot is up to them. I don't want to promote or give any kind of validation to any particular group. It wouldn't be fair because I believe one thing about Christianity is that it's multifaceted, and there is plenty of room for the CES in the world, for the Lutherans in the world, for the Catholics in the world, for the Baptists, for every single denomination. I don't think that Christianity could ever be defined as one religion. It's too big for that, and so as a result, I really avoid even talking about it. I stay pretty neutral. I don't. I'll give people information if they want information about a particular place, but I don't. In fact, I've pretty much abandoned using links on Grease Spot because I found that I was being accused of favoring certain groups over other groups, and I realized I couldn't have links for everything. So it might be better just not to have links at all, and that's kind of the way I've been with it. It's just it is what it is.
But there is one link you kept.
Well, yes. I guess if it's a fellow Grease Spotter, but that as a whole other subject, that's something that I am going to delve into sometime this year, is to bring back some type of a link system. I don't know how I'll do it. I want it to be fair, and I want to be able to. I mean, if you go back in the main site, there are some links in there, but I'd like to update it and just make available as many different things as possible, but to do it fairly and not feel that if I didn't mention one person that I'm, saying something negatively about them.
Right.
So it's a hard thing to do.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this special episode of Grease Spot Radio. We will be back very, very soon with some new and exciting episodes, including a possible live discussion. So stay tuned, and thanks for listening.